Blog Talk Radio.
Today we got guest speaker William Pollock with us today.
That's right.
he's like an apostle. He's been doing revivals all across the East Coast, and the Lord's doing a lot of amazing things through him, in the last couple of years. And we're gonna have him just tell us, some stuff, what the Lord's doing with him, how he got started, and what the Lord can do through you too. And it's gonna be some amazing stuff. I'm going to start right in with Matthew 10. I'm going to read down from there. That's what the Lord gave me today to read for this event. It says, Jesus sends out his 12. And a lot of times I read this when, you know, like an apostle comes in on the show, and God always shows me this. It ain't that I actually try to find it. It just happens. So I'm going to go ahead with it. He says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. There are names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and the brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, and the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, and Zelot, and Judah, Iscariot, who betrayed him, and their 12 Jesus sent out to the following instructions. He says, do not go amongst the Galileans or enter any town of Samaria. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or accept, or any copper belt. Take no bags for your journey or extra tunic or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And I'm going to leave it right there at that today. And the Lord is basically saying, you know, he was telling his 12 disciples to go out, and that's actually what, you know, the commission he had for, you know, the Christians, for the people that's going to be brought into the kingdom. He's wanting to steal the sick and all that. You know, as I've said on this show, many a time, a lot of us don't do that. And, you know, it's crazy. So, William, how you doing today, man?
Brother, I am on fire for Jesus right now.
Amen.
And
I'm just
blessed and highly favored to be here with you, your radio broadcast, and all of the listeners. And I pray to be an encouragement to the body of Christ, because, you know, we're in a day and hour where, you know, we need the power of God in the church. We need demonstrations, true demonstrations of signs and wonders and miracles, not this flaky stuff going on, but the real deal. We need, you know, the whole basis for our ministry, Joyfire Ministries, is 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So that scripture in Matthew 10, it speaks volumes, because I'll tell people, they'll ask me all the time, you know, what am I called to do? What am I called to do? I said, well, you're called to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And they're like, well, no. Well, what's my call? What am I? Well, I said, we're all called to do that. not just me, not just the elite, every one of us. Amen.
Amen. That's one thing that, you know, a lot of these shows, you know, we're trying to do. You know, people works in the power of God. We want to get everybody doing this, because this is a commission that we all Christians are supposed to do. And there's like I remember some guy was talking about, he said back in Roman times, that when the Romans would get actually sick or anything, they'd say, go find a Christian. Now how many people would do that today? Go find a Christian.
Right.
No.
We got too many. We got to go to a doctor. We got to use man's formulas and methods. You know, I was a part of a revival service last night with Pastor Wes Geiger and Pastor Daniel Kaur and at Cleveland Revival Center. And God moved mightily. And there were several people that Pastor West said that weren't there last night because of, you know, the enemy had really interjected. I mean, like, I think 5 of the 7 actually needed healing. And he's like, you know, I just want to tell him, you know, I mean, we're having a healing miracle service, and this is where you need to be.
Amen. So, William, how did you get your start, man? I mean,
wow.
Were you raised up in church or?
I was raised up in the Church of God since 1984, but it was 10 years before anybody asked me if I ever wanted to take Jesus as my personal Savior. It's one of these deals. You grow up in the church, they just figure that you're saved. And it wasn't until 1994 that I had an extreme encounter with the Lord. But just to rewind a little bit, I was born different than others. I was born with gifting on my life. I was born prophetic. Now, I didn't ask for the gift. It was just already on my life. I really truly believe it was because the Lord knew where he was bringing me, the place he was going to bring me to, and the ministry and the call that was on my life. So really, I was very prophetic. I knew when people, when things were going to happen, I knew things about people. And, you know, I would always lead them to Jesus, you know, concerning these things. And, you know, many of us said that I was like an old soul when I was really young. But 1994, that was a pivotal point in my walk with Christ, because I was at a little revival service in a little church of God in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. And there was a woman that came to share her testimony, Mary Kay Baxter. She had went and supposedly had a divine visitation with Jesus and was taken into hell for over 40 nights. And Jesus was showing her, and he wanted her to come back and testify of the fact of where a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ, even not just the unbelievers, were going to end up. And it shook me, brother. It shook me to the core. And I ran up front. I mean, I didn't wait. When she had the altar call, I was climbing over people, and I got up there. Now this woman, brother, I never want to get more saved in my life.
Yeah, hot pants, huh? Yeah,
right.
Green pants, huh?
Right. Whew. And I got up there, and she released like four words of knowledge. They were in-depth things that had happened to me and things that were going on currently in my life. I mean, it was, you know, because the word of knowledge is a revelation gift. And I didn't know what it was then, but I do now. And she laid hands on me, and I got laid out in the spirit. I went home with my grandmother. I was living with her at the time. And that night, the Lord had opened my eyes. I didn't realize I had received an impartation with the gift of the discerning of spirits. And when I went home, I saw five demonic spirits in the natural run out of the back of my grandmother's house, and the door literally slammed, and she got, like, really, like, distressed. And she's like, oh, my gosh, somebody's in the house. And I'm freaking out, and I'm trying to tell her what I saw, and she thinks I'm crazy. She's Church of God, right? And so I would say that's what started it. And then it was from there to 2006, I struggled to really, you know, to come into the call that God had placed in my life. And I went through drugs and alcohol. And, you know, I always loved Jesus. I mean, there were times that I was under the influence of alcohol and I was leading people to Jesus. I was so convicted. I'd get messed up and I was like, oh, man, you know, you were raised in church. You know better. And I just got Jesus in the back of he's tugging on my shoulder. He's like, son, you know better. You know you shouldn't live this way. And it wasn't until 2006 that I completely surrendered. And I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus at the Lake Erie Church of God in Perry, Ohio. And that's the church I was raised in. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me specifically. I heard his voice. And it wasn't like one of these deals where it's the still small voice, the leading of the Lord type, you know when he'll speak to your spirit, man. It was one of these deals where it came like thunder and lightning. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And I was shaking under the power of God. And he spoke to me. He said, I called you into ministry. And I said, I laid on the floor like a fool for Christ, weeping, crying, speaking in tongues. And I had, then the Lord gave me interpretation for the entire church. And that's not me. You know, I wasn't, you know, I was very shy and timid. You know, I love talking about Jesus now, but back then, God had to really mold me, so to speak, because I just public speaking and talking to people, you know what I mean? It just wasn't my thing. Mm-hmm. But the power came in 2009. Now, this is what really it was the defining moment in the ministry that it changed everything. It was like, you know, this is when the power of God came onto my life and into the ministry. Now, to give you a better understanding, I had done a deliverance in 2009 of a young man. He was demon possessed, and it was really wild how it happened. My cousin had called me, and a boy that she was dating, she said, I was in ministry and that we dealt these types of things, you know, when it would happen. And she's like, I don't know what's going on, but he's freaking out, and he's like talking all strange. And I'm like, well, is he on drugs? Has he been drinking? No, they were working together, so like a little Burger King. And I said, well, and the Spirit of the Lord came on me and said, the boy is being possessed. I said, what? And he wasn't a Christian or nothing. And so I said, get him over here now. And when before she even arrived, I kid you not, I'm telling my wife, you know, bless the house, pray up, you know, she's walking around reading the Word of God. And all of a sudden, on the side of the house, we live in an end condo unit, and it was like boom, 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 and it was something like literally hit the wall so hard. It was like the enemy was announcing he was trying to put fear into us. And I ran outside, of course, in the natural, brother, like, you know, trying to explain it. And anyways, the boy gets there. This young man was, and he's long. I'm a big boy. I'm 6'3", and he was about 6 foot six, 280 pounds. He's cornbread fed. Okay, this boy is a big Southern boy, and so he comes. Yeah. He tries to come into my house. He couldn't. There, I've never seen this till this day. There was an unseen force holding his shoulders back. He's leaning at a 45-degree angle. It was something out of a scary movie, literally. His eyes are black as saucers. I command him to come in my house in the name of Jesus. He started crawling like an animal. And then he stood up. I had a chair in the middle of the room, you know, thinking this thing that's in him is going to obey and sit. And he stand up, and this, it was like, I thought, like, you know, when Jesus got the boat and this, that demon-possessed man, you know, that cut himself, he was naked and all that. I'm like, I saw this literally. I literally seen this come alive. He's grinding his teeth at me. He's foaming at the sides of his mouth. I'll tell you right now, by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit came on me so strong. This thing tried to rise up against me, and I kid you not, this demon was cast out by the finger of God. This boy flew back about 5 feet, and I don't want to freak all the listeners out, but it came out, let's just say. Well, that's when I encountered 3 months of pure terror, it seemed. And as a Christian and knowing my authority in the name of Jesus, I did not understand, you know, how this thing could attack our household. It got so bad that my wife wouldn't even sleep in the same room. And I got so hungry and so desperate for Jesus because I was crying out, like, Lord, why won't this, whatever this came out of this boy, leave? Where's the open door in me? And so I quit my job. I literally locked myself in the room for 3 months, and I tarried, just like they did in the book of Acts. Not 10 days, 3 months. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. Now, you're talking to somebody that has heard the Holy Spirit his entire life. And for the first time in my life, no Holy Spirit. It was as if I was separated, but I knew the Word of God. I knew the fact that, you know, I'll never leave nor forsake you. So I knew the Father was there, but this was a time of, I would call, the dark night of the soul. And it wasn't until March, like, 28th, 2009, the Lord finally spoke to me. I heard the Holy Spirit so strong. He said, be at such and such church at such and such time. Now, I had never been to this Church of God in my life. Now, I had to go and I had to Google it, brother. And so I got to the church. It was March 29th, 2009, and I'll never forget that day because this is the day that, you know, Jesus literally changed my life forever. And I come into a service. There was a revivalist there that had come out of Rodney Howard Brown's ministry. And, you know, I'm all back of the bus, and I'm weary, I'm tired. I haven't been to church in 3 months. I've been tearing, and, you know, this thing's been tormenting our household. And I'm just like, Lord, I need to touch. Well, you know, I'm here. You said be here, so I'm here. And, you know, it was like I started singing that old – they were playing that old hymn. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. You know, I'm clapping my hands and praise the Lord. Now, this is when I couldn't believe what happened next. Jesus. Yeah. Wow. I felt burning electricity come onto my feet. I'm not talking the Holy Spirit chills. I'm talking, you know, stand in a puddle of water and stick a 220 in it. I felt electricity, the power of God, burn all the way up through my legs, all the way up through the top of my body. I mean, all the way to my head. Then I felt as all, I could only describe as hot oil pour down on the top of my head, and I was burning, brother. I'm talking, I was so hot. At one point, I kid you not, I was like, a spontaneous combustion. I'm like, Jesus, I did something and God's going to kill me, you know, because I was raised Church of God, you know, it was, a lot of it kind of was doom and gloom, you know, repent, you're going to burn, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I believe repentance and forgiveness of sins, but that was what changed. It was like, you know, it changed the dynamics of our ministry. We began to see signs and wonders and miracles. Now, I'd walked in the anointing, walked in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for years, but now it was different. Now when I went to go to pray for people, they begin to shake and burn and cry and weep. And then I saw something I've never seen before. People started laughing. And I'm like, I'm Church of God. I never believed any of that. I didn't even know what it was. First off, I thought it was demonic. I went around, brother, for the first year trying to get answers. Like, what's going on? Why are these people laughing? You know, why is it everybody laughing when I start praying for them? It's not funny, you know. And, you know,
Brother? I said, you thought people was insulting you or something. They said they're laughing at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I went to five pastors, and none of them had any answers for me. And then when I would start talking about it, they would start getting it. I'm like, what's going on? And so the last pastor I went to, I walked away, and I went to leave, and I heard the Holy Spirit came on me, and he said to me, he spoke to me very clear. He says, you're not going to get your answers from a man. I'm the teacher. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. So I'm like, well, where is this in the Bible? He said, he gave me Hebrews 1:9, because you hated wickedness and loved righteousness. Therefore, I've raised you above your companions and anointed your head with the oil of gladness. Other translations, the oil of joy. And so it's just been a supernatural walk ever since. And Lord handed me a torch in 2010. We've seen hundreds of miracles. We've seen God just heal people. I mean, the presence of God would come and just sweep through the place, and people were laughing and crying, and they were on fire. And I'm like, what is this fire, Lord? And he said, you know, listen, the church is never going to have an Acts 2 encounter if they don't have a Matthew 3:11 baptism of fire, because mm-hmm. Matthew 3:11 says, you know, he'll come, you know, not only with the Holy Spirit, but and fire. So he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And, you know, we tend to leave the and fire off because we don't understand it. And the fire, if you read in verse 12, it's unquenchable. It burns out that which is not of God, so to speak. You know, because doesn't the Word of God say that, you know, judgment will come to the house of God first? So, you know, judgment's not always bad. It says he'll try your work by fire. So this fire that came upon them in the book of Acts, I believe it was pivotal because it was what Prophet Joel had prophesied, the coming of the Holy Spirit. He prophesied there'd come a day where God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And then when it happened, it was just, the apostles were reiterating, said, this is what Prophet Joel prophesied about. And they said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, because obviously they must have looked intoxicated. You know, it's like it's only third hour of the day. Other translations, the ninth hour of the day. So I would say that in a nutshell, that's my journey thus far.
That's cool, man. It's cool how the Lord really comes in and identifies himself, because I know, you know, there is times, like you said, there is times of turmoil and darkness in our life that God, you know, like they say, you know, a diamond has to go through, you know, has to go through fire to be transformed into a full diamond, from a rock to a diamond. A lot of times when we go through this persecution and all this stuff, we learn a lot. It ain't that, you know, as God promised, he won't give us no more than what we can handle. He knows what we can handle, but sometimes we don't know. He knows more than we do about that type of stuff. And we'll go through things, and right at the last minute, and God's always been at the last minute sometimes, and you know, it's like right there when it could be make it or break it, he'll show up and transform everything.
That's right.
So it's weird. Everybody, you know, when everybody's expecting God to show up, they expect him to show up maybe 5 days ahead of time, or maybe right then and there. But right when you're getting ready to cross that line, he shows up and he fixes it. And you're like,
that's right.
Man, I thought he was gonna do that yesterday, man. You know, but no, he waited till that. He waited till that time, and you know, God, you know, what do we know, man? You know, God knows more than what we do. But
amen. You know, he spoke to me one time, and he said, and I said, Lord, why the joy? Why the laughter? He goes, well, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he said, and I said, but Lord, isn't it kind of, you know, heretical? You know, you're just going to preach the word of God, people start laughing. And he's like, listen, I will use the foolish things to confound the wise. You know, he does not like man's wisdom. And I believe the church for far too long has been eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're so full of logic. They're literally pregnant with logic. And we just got to come to this place where we just worship Jesus And, you know, there's a two-part, you know, there's two parts we worship, in spirit and in truth. And, you know, most of the church, they're all full of the truth, and they dry up, or they're all full of the spirit, and they blow up. That's where you get the charismatic wackos. They go way overboard with you know, the supernatural, and they get all obsessed with signs, wonders, and miracles, which is awesome. That's just a byproduct of relationship. You know, signs and wonders, they follow them who believe. And so it's like the Lord told me, he's like, there has to be a healthy balance. You need to worship me in spirit and in truth. And God is beginning to move in this hour, prophetically speaking. I know we're transitioning here for a second, but prophetically speaking, the Lord is moving in spirit and truth in this hour. There's a revelation of Jesus Christ that it's always been there. But God is revealing, because it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, that, you know, the old covenant is veiled to those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. And, you know, they can't comprehend the word of God. So a lot of what we see going on in the body of Christ is man's wisdom, and they're trying to, you know, they're taking mystical revelation, and there's no application. It's like, you know, there's hidden secrets, there's hidden mysteries that they're continuously being revealed to the sons of God through the word of God, but it's veiled to those who don't truly believe. And some people get offended by that. They're like, well, I believe, and they're sitting there crying to me, because they're like, well, how come you walk in the realm of revelation with understanding, you know? And I'm like, that's because I believe in the gospel, the simplicity. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, chapter 2, 11, 3 or something like that. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that back to remembrance. But it said, you know, about the serpent. It said, don't let your minds be deceived like Eve by the serpent, from the simplicity that's in Christ, or in the gospel, other translations. And we have come to a place where we have mystified the gospel. And the Lord told me, he goes, that's because they don't truly believe. They're trying to take and they're taking the word of God out of context, or they're taking it and they're reading into it to the point where that's not what it says whatsoever. And so it's a religious mindset. A lot of people call it a spirit. I call it a mindset, because, you know, your mind, it's not the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy. It's, you know, it's truth. You know, you'll see fruit in your life from having the mind of Christ, you know. And we're in a day and a time and hour where false teachers, false prophets are rising in the body of Christ, and there's a it's mixed seed is what the Lord told me. Like I talked in the book of Lamentations, you know, a donkey and a mule, they can't reproduce. And what's happening is they're trying to, you know, take and mix the seed. You can't just take, you know, some and not have, you know, you can't just be all truth or all spirit, and, you know, so to speak. And, you know, and they're mixing. They'll be all truth, but it's partial lies. They take it out of context or reading into it, or it's all spirit, and they just take and throw the truth out. It's like we need to be, you know, there has to be like a healthy balance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Got a little bit of all of it.
Right.
Like kind of like a salad bar. You have a little bit of everything in it.
Right, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. See, that was simple, right? That's how Jesus spoke. I don't understand these people. Oh, Jesus was a great philosopher and all this and that. Listen, Jesus spoke to tax collectors, prostitutes, fishermen. I mean, he talked to people that did not have, you know, a real in-depth education, so to speak. These were just common folk. You know, he used parables and to speak to them so that they would understand. It boggles my mind sometimes.
Amen.
Now,
William, what are you doing now with your ministry? What are you going from coast to coast doing revivals, or, you know?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Are you doing a lot of ministering? Are you doing a lot of preaching? What are you really doing these days?
Okay. Honestly, mostly we're a media ministry, and the Lord has set us up that way, but we travel. I've ministered a few times this last month, and the, you know, every month God's sending us out. We do go out, and mostly the territory that the Lord has given me seems to be the East Coast. I've been in Pennsylvania, Indiana, New York, all throughout Ohio, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida just recently. So he's given me the East Coast. I'm going to be in Jersey later this year. So he's really been kind of isolating me to the East Coast. But I'm believing to go to coast to coast in Jesus' name. But for the most part, our ministry is media ministry, right? And lately the Lord's put on my heart to make it available to everyone. He gave me a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it was verse 13, and it really convicted my heart. He said, I went and I read it, and I meditated on it. It says, what is my pay? Other translations, what is my reward? That I would come and preach the gospel free of charge, not abusing my authority in the gospel. And I'm like, Lord, you really convicted me. So another thing prophetically that I'd like to touch on real fast is in this hour we have those that are marketing and merchandising the anointing and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's gone too far. I'm not against books and teachings and all this and that, and that's awesome. I'm talking about those that are out there to strictly make a profit off of the gospel. That's their whole deal. And the Lord told me, he's like, I want this available to everybody. Because let's just be real here. Stop and think for a second. Yeah. The people in Nigeria and Africa and India, because I got friends in India. I got ministry partners in India. Bless their heart. How can they afford $70 for a four-part teaching series? Let's just be real here. I mean, 70 U.S. dollars in their country is like, wow. I mean, that's going to feed them for like 2-3 months or something like that.
Amen, yeah.
And so the Lord convicted my heart. He goes, I didn't charge you when I gave you the revelation of the gospel, of the mysteries of who I am. You know, he goes, so why would you charge anybody else? And I got really convicted, and I read that scripture, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, Lord. And he began to speak to me about hirelings in the body of Christ, and that's another message in itself. But mainly, we have all our media completely free. So all you listeners, visit www.joyfireministries.com. And go to our media link, and we have all our stuff completely free. Sign up for our newsletter, because every month I'm sending out free MP3s. So if you can't watch it, you know, the YouTubes or whatnot, just you can get the MP3s completely free. And we just ask that you pray. And if they do connect, they have an opportunity to support. We do believe in giving. I mean, we're not against giving or nothing like that. We do believe that it does. Unfortunately, it takes money to advance the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
You said you like to go to the West Coast sometime, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine, FBI Art. He lives down there and has a church on the West Coast. I might give him a call and see what he can do for you, man.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
But
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's some amazing things that's going on, and you know, the Lord told me maybe about a year ago that he's wanting the power back in the church. He's wanting the power back in the church. It's been gone for so long. But there's always the main calling that I've saw, or actually that I had too, is to get all the Christians into the power. All the Christians.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, nowadays these churches have these special people. You know, it's only the minister can do the healing. It's only the big revival guy comes into the anointing. He wants everybody into the anointing, and
that's funny you said that. That I just want to touch that real fast. Is that's one of the things that I try to implement when I have a service. The Lord has given me the ability to identify the gifting that's on the life of the believers in the room. That's part of the discerning of spirits. I can discern, you know, it's four parts to that gifting. It's, you know, I can discern demonic spirits, angelic spirits, human spirit, and Holy Spirit. So I can identify and flow with the Holy Spirit in such a way. And, you know, when there's healing, I try to activate the body of Christ. Say, listen, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that's in me is in you. And you know, it's like, and the light bulb clicks all of a sudden. They're like, oh, my gosh, you're right.
Amen. Yes, it's amazing how, you know, I've actually got an event coming in May. Art Thomas, he moves in miracles and healings too, and he's coming this way. And I was just trying to find a church to have him to come and just teach a course of street ministry. And a lot of ones, I try to go to these churches where they're already, you know, there's people moving in signs and wonders in the church to minister. And sometimes they want to be the only one. They don't want everybody in the congregation to move in. They just want to move in. And if they're taught how to do what we do, what they do, they might be out of a job. And they're like, oh, man, what am I going to do? But they don't realize it's going to make the church service more interesting.
Yes. Yeah, but it's like all instead of Holy Spirit taking the seat in the front pew, waiting for the man of God up front to move or say, okay, Holy Spirit, come up here and you just do it, touch these people and then leave, you know. But it's like, yep. Okay, Holy Spirit, come have your way.
Yeah,
have your way, you know. I was preaching that last night. I was like, we want more, Lord, more of you, more Jesus. And the more the people, they just got hungrier and hungrier. And before you know it, God was just miracles and signs and wonders. There were demons being cast out. It was like, wow, this is the kingdom of Jesus Christ right here on the earth. Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. You know, you need to go listen to some of his YouTube videos. I've been listening to a few of them myself. And William really knows what he's talking about. If you want, you know, help in the power of God and help with the Holy Spirit and all that, really check out his videos. And what's the name of your link on YouTube?
Oh, it's under Prophetic Roundtable. There now, if you go to joyfireministries.com, right on the homepage, I have links to Facebook, Blogger. We have a blog site too, where all our writings are absolutely free as well. And I'm in the process of writing a book right now, and I'm going to make that available to everybody free. Just get it out there. And, because I truly believe, you know, and people are like, well, how are you going to make it? I mean, a lot of these people, and I've ministered next to some of these big guys that are been up there and recently have led major revivals back as 2008. I've been next to these guys, and I know I've almost been shunned by them because, you know, it makes them look bad. I'm not trying to make them look bad. I'm trying to make Jesus look good. You know, like, hey, Jesus, mm-hmm. how can I charge for the Holy Spirit? I just can't do it.
It's free, man. You can't.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
How do you charge for that which is free? I mean, God's grace is unmerited, unwarranted favor. I mean, none of us deserve for God to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for us. I mean, let's just be real. It's because of God's love, his mercy, his grace, he did so. So, you know, the least we could do is just present a Jesus to everyone we know that says, hey, you know what? I mean, I asked a question one time in a meeting I did with Bob Jones and a few others. I said, mm-hmm. Would any of you in this room, if there was a person that came up to you and said, you know, can I have a Bible? Would you turn around and say, well, listen, I paid $45 for this Bible, and I'll tell you what, you give me $39.95, I'll give you this Bible. And no, you would be like, you know what, if you're walking with the Spirit of the living God, you're going to hand that Bible over. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ. Every time they're putting it out there, they're saying, well, you know what? You got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. And I understand there's some that, you know, they write books and this and that. But let's just be real. How many books have we read where the Holy Spirit was behind the book? I can only name one book that I've read, and it's called the Bible. And that's the only – the only.
Amen. Amen.
You know, let's just be really real here. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth, he literally – you know, they asked him once, and it was so condescending when he said it. He's like, so what teachings and who are your mentors and all this and that, and, you know, what writings really inspire you? He's like, well, honestly, let's be truthful, just one book, the Bible. The only book he ever read was the Bible. He's like, that's the only book worth reading. And I'm like, that's what needs to be taught in the body of Christ. That would deconstruct the whole church foundation right now. They go, what do you mean we just read the Bible?
Yeah. They take the Bible and they make doctrines out of it, what each person thinks they believe about it. They don't go by they can't comprehend the words that's in the Bible.
No,
but they
that's part of that veil I was telling you about. That veil, and I'm telling you, folks, listeners, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, read it. There's a veil over the minds. Have you ever? And I'm talking to the listeners right now. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you're talking about the Word of God or releasing a revelation of the Word of God, and the person you're speaking to, they cannot comprehend, just like my brother Stan Stein just said. They can't even comprehend. It's because, read that scripture, there's a veil over their minds because they say they're believers, but they're not walking as believers. They're not truly, because if they had believed, you know, the veil would be removed. That's why Christ, you know, many times when he was on the earth, he said only the Father could have revealed this to you, because it was the people that were actually drawn to the Father that it was revealed that this was the Son of the living God. So, I mean, they had a heart. They had a tender heart. They had a believing heart. You know, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So is the question, is it, you know, do they not believe? Belief has to do with doubt. You know, unbelief has to do with doubt. So if there's doubt present, that's why they can't receive. So, you know, I would say you don't judge and criticize, find fault them. Just pray for them. Pray that their eyes. That's why many times you see in the New Testament and the Old Testament, you know, the Lord, you know, would say, you know, I have not seen and ear have not heard. You know, it's, you know, a lot of times their eyes are blinded. They talked in the Old Testament that there were scale over their eyes and blocks in their ears. They couldn't even hear or receive it. So, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy how some of this stuff goes because, you know, there's some areas, you know, they've got some great churches, and they'll bring the power of God in, and then there are some churches they just won't have nothing to do with it. And
that's right.
That's the real one. And I told some of my friends that does miracles. I said, go to these churches and just sit in the back row and pray for the church.
Watch
the Holy Spirit. Watch the Holy Spirit start moving in the church, and it might not be because of they don't, you know, that they don't want it. But he'll start moving because they need it, and when he starts working in there because they need it, he'll start pulling them veils off, getting them demons out of that church. And as you know, when Jesus walked in the synagogue, he was casting demons out of the synagogue, man.
Yeah, you know, it was. Jesus' biggest problem was not the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the alcoholics. His biggest issue was with the church. And we have the same issue today. Most people are turned off by the modern day church because it's been glamorized and it's just pure filth what they've done to the body of Christ. And, you know, and this is how you know. I tell people, because I heard this from a brother once, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's not about you.
Yeah.
And if you're here listening to a gospel that makes it about you, run. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. He put the model in place. And it's like, you know, if you're coming, you're wanting people to serve you, boy, Mike, I know a minister right now, he's so popular when he goes to a hotel. First off, before he even comes, it's $5,000 to $10,000. There's a finder's fee to come and minister. Oh, you know, the hands are shaking in the air. Oh, I won't come out for less than $10,000, you know. And he actually has them vacuum his room backwards, you know, because he doesn't want any footmarks on the floor to taint the anointing that's on his life. And he wants a bowl full of only blue M&Ms. I kid you not.
That sounds kind of like a rock star or something, man.
That's what it is. It's glamorized Christianity. It's a joke. I mean, Paul the Apostle said, at this current moment, we are beaten, starved, homeless, and naked, and we're working with our own hands, basically, to further the gospel. Let's just be real. And I'm not against it. The Lord told me once, it's not about poverty and it's not about prosperity. It's about priority. Because when we put him first and foremost, we're going to see the kingdom of heaven advance. He will pour out, you know, John 15:7 says, you know, that he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, anything you ask, he'll give to you. So we need to come back into that place. We need to repent.
Amen. That's it. And, you know, it has to be cleansed because a lot of us, you know, there's a lot of Christians that walks around. They've never really – they're scared. They're scared of Jesus. And a lot of them scared of church because they're scared that, you know, what they have been through is going to be revealed. Now, the way I look at things, that Jesus already knows what you've done. He knows what you've done. Only thing you got to admit is that you did it.
Right.
<That's>
exactly.
It.
You know,
and,
I think
it's cool, man. Go ahead.
Oh, this has been on my heart, but I think I deal with leaders. God consistently sends me leaders in the body of Christ, and I feel so bad because, you know what, they're normal people. They're anointed, but they're normal people just like you and I or like any of you listeners. They fall short of God's glory, Romans 3:23, because it says we all fall short, in fact. And they make mistakes and they fall and they have nobody to turn to because we've come to a place where they're going to crucify you. They're going to do to you. They're so afraid that they're going to be, you know, just ostracized in the body of Christ, that they hide behind the sin and they have no one to turn to. And we really need to lift up our leaders and pray for them, because you know what? They make mistakes and they need help. And I think most of the charismatic Christianity nowadays, you know, they keep it all to themselves. You got adultery going on in the body of Christ. You got, you know, homosexuality. You got all kinds of things going on. And, you know, everybody wants to turn a blind eye. But there comes a point where, you know, we need to come to one another and not feel threatened like everybody's going to run and tell everybody's business. I want to be able to call my brother Stan up and say, "Brother, I'm in sin. Pray for me."
Amen.
You know what I'm
saying?
I mean, how many of you listeners out there have been in that situation? You just, you know, you're like, "I want somebody to talk to, but I know I can't because everybody's going to air my dirty laundry."
We have a stage meeting and they call people, you know, come to the front row, and people's like, "Oh Lord, they're going to see me and know my problem."
Exactly.
Before I get to the front, they're going to be talking about me. Then when I go out the door, they're going to be,
right,
"There's the one." You know?
Yeah. See, and that's part of that religious mindset. Behind it truly is a spirit of control, manipulation, and intimidation. When you're in a church that is rooted in fear, and the Lord told me once, do we have enough time? We got a few minutes?
Yeah, we got 14 minutes, man.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Lord gave me a revelation once. He took me to the garden, and he said, now we know the story. Eve ate from the tree that she wasn't supposed to. Their eyes were open. Now they knew the difference between good and evil. They knew what was going on. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They shouldn't have done it, and now their eyes were open, and they were like God, in a sense, being able to see and discern and know the things he knows. And so their eyes are open. They ran immediately because they realized that they were uncovered, that they were naked. And they hid behind what? The fig tree, right? The fig tree, the fig represents the church's fear, insecurity, and guilt. That same fear, insecurity, and guilt is still going on in the body of Christ today. But we need to realize this is the revelation the Lord gave me. It's prophetic. He gave me a picture. And he showed me when he walked past that fig tree in the New Testament, what did he do to it? He cursed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a prophetic picture of God saying, "I've come to destroy the fear and the insecurity and the guilt of the church." He spoke that to me, and we need to come out from under that, because that religious mindset or spirit, whatever you want to call it, it breeds fear and insecurity and guilt, and that's what locks people in so that they hide from their sin, or they don't want to deal with the sin, or like you said, they won't come up to the front because they know, well, this one's going to say this or do this or this or this, and you know. And it's just, we need to come out from under that. We need to realize that Jesus paid the price for all the fear, all the insecurity, all the guilt, for all the shame, for all sin, not some. It wasn't like a conditional guarantee type deal. He's like, "I've come, I paid the price for all sin, for all of mankind. It's done. It's finished. It's final." And we got to do our part and not worry about, and that's another thing going on in the body. Christ is a man-pleasing spirit. You know, 1 Galatians 1:10, do I please men or please God? You know, because you can't be bound to both. You're either bound to, you hate one, love the other, love one, or hate the other. You know, you can't be, there's this, it binds you, you know, when you care more about what man thinks than what God thinks. That's really what he's saying. And we need to come out from under that. So if you're in a church like that, you know, pray for that church. And if it's just getting worse or it's continuing, Lord told me once, it's in the New Testament, come out from among any unclean thing and I shall receive you. So we need to be in a place where the gifts of the Spirit are operating and flowing, where the Holy Spirit has liberty and freedom, where there's other brothers that the other brothers and sisters that you can confide in and say, "Hey, you know what, I'm having issues. I need prayer." And where there's fellowship.
Yeah.
Whew,
Jesus. Yeah. That there's a lot of ministers, you know, that really does need help. And there's, there's a competition too in ministers. There's a competition.
A lot
of times you got to find the real ones that's really there to help and really there to, you know, for the message of God, to show his love, not like you're saying, trying to make money and to kind of be like a rock star or some sort. you know. And
you know what the word says about those? They call them, and it's in John, I believe, chapter 10, calls them hirelings. A hireling is someone that their sole purpose is to work for a wage. And it says that when the hireling, basically when the wolves come a-calling, they're gone. they eat my dust. They're gone. I mean, the sheep are going, bah, bah. The wolves have entered, and, you know, they're getting destroyed. And the one that he was like, man, this is just a job for me. I don't care about these people.
Right, yeah,
so we got to watch out for those types of people.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know,
my prayer is to never get to a place where I'm so big in ministry that I don't have time for the little person, for the one individual person. Because, you know, a lot of Jesus' ministry, it was to the thousands, but also one-on-one. And, you know, I think that's being lost in the body of Christ. You know, these powerhouses are getting up there, and it's just, you know, they're too big, and there's too much fame, you know, just to get down off the stage and just minister to that one person, so to speak.
Mm. And
wow.
That's one thing about Todd White. Everybody probably knows Todd White, too.
I love him. Yeah.
And I saw him, you know, he's got pretty big out there, and he's still doing things. But what's so awesome about him, when he's in an airport, he'll be praying for people in the airport. He didn't care. He goes to Mickey D's. He prays for people in Mickey D's.
I love it.
It's like wherever he goes, he's ministering. And,
that's right.
You know, it's a great thing. But, you know, then again, like you said, you know, it ain't good to get too big, you know, where you can't
Amen.
Do that, where your head's
that's
so
right.
big, you know, you just like, well, I'm going to pray for thousands tonight. Well, I'm just worrying about that folk, you know. But
right, yeah,
it's not that. And I had a friend of mine that I talked to last night, and he's a street minister, and he has no church. He works at a pizza parlor, man, and
Come
he
on.
Just drives. He has no car, but he rides a bike, and he prays for people on the side of the street. He prays for
awesome.
The homeless. He prays for people that has drug addictions, because he's been there before, and the Lord delivered him out of that. So he has a heart for those type of people, and
wow.
the Lord has used him so much. He's delivered people that's been on the street, that he has you know, baptized people that couldn't. I mean, he had a video where, and I was actually talking to him after he did the video on his phone. He was at the lake just playing around. Some lady there was drinking a beer, popped it down. He was fussing
yeah.
with their husband or whatever. He said, "Do you got any problems with your feet or legs?" And she's like, "Yes." He ended up healing her feet, her arms, and baptized her at the lake, man, that day.
Ah, that's what, you know, that's another thing that, yeah, come on, Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you right now, we need to, I think the church has gotten so sin-focused that what happens is, you know, you get around somebody that has any sin in their life, and you freak out. But you got to remember, you know, the sin that we need to worry about is in the church. You know, that's why Paul, he came back, and it seemed like he was like, here he is, the grace guy, and he comes back, and he's dealing with the issue in the church. But he said, you know, when concerning those in the world, they're in sin. You got to remember one thing: they don't know Jesus. So you can't just like be shook by the fact that they're F-bombing, and they're cussing, they're swearing, they're drinking a beer, and I mean, I've had people they're swearing away, and they're cursing and smoking a cigarette, and I'm just telling them about the love of Jesus. They melt. I'm like, you know, Jesus has a plan for your life, that He loves you, that God loves you, and they just melt, because no one ever stopped and just looked at them and said, God loves you. And has a plan for your life, and they just get undone. And at that point, it's like all the sin moves away. And it's like I've seen the Holy Spirit move in mighty power, signs, wonders, and miracles in the midst of some of the filthiest sin that was going on. And so, you know, Holy Spirit, he's not easily shook by sin, sin or sinners. You know, it's not like he's just going to up and leave and pack his bags and say, you know what, you are not a good temple to dwell in. Adios, amigo, you know?
Yeah. He likes temples he's got to clean up, because he can manage them the way he needs them to be managed.
That's
and,
right. I think too many people try to do it themselves and get into works, but, you know, that's another message in itself.
Yeah, it sure is.
We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to clean us up. Clean me, Lord. Sometimes I feel like that fish coming out the water and getting gutted.
Amen.
Amen.
William, it's been a pleasure to have you on the
yes.
show. And, you know, we're going to, you know, hopefully you'll come back on in the future. And
absolutely.
We'll try to get some call-ins and stuff coming in. And, you know, watch God at work. Everybody can watch God at work or listen to God at work. I keep on saying watch, and we're on the radio. You can't watch it, but listen to God at work. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on air and let you give your testimony. I'm sure his testimony is going to touch many a person, and I'm sure
Amen.
God is going to be speaking to them through this testimony, and that's why I love having people like you on, where you can get a strong testimony to let them know that they can do the same as you, and God can work through them just like they do you. And we never know when God's going to touch us. You know, we might be at that right church like you was, and God
has
got to have us to come forward or whatever. So, and you don't even have to come
Amen.
Forward. God can touch you in the seat there at the church. So it doesn't matter.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't really
That's right.
matter.
Do I have enough time? I want to pray over everybody real fast. I'm challenging every listener right now. Just stretch your hands out in the name of Jesus. If you've been praying for the fire of God, if you've been praying for the Holy Spirit, I just believe that there's no distance, you know, in the spirit realm, because, you know, that's the whole secret about the mystery, the mystical union of the body of Christ. You know, Christ is the head. We're the body. So you might be a toe. I might be a finger. And there's no distance. There's not much distance between us, so to speak. So I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just release your Holy Spirit, that you would baptize with fire, Holy Spirit, upon every listener, upon every believer that's listening right now, that's been hungry, that's been thirsty, that's been desperate for more of you, Lord. And Father, I just speak, decree, and declare, and release destiny over every listener in Jesus' name. And I pray healing. There's a person that's going to end up listening to this in the archive, and that you have a back issue, and right now you're feeling the fire of God right down your back. You're feeling the presence of God just pour down upon you. There's somebody with a foot condition right now. God's touching that right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your healing virtue. You know, Jesus actually felt the virtue leave his body when there was a demand. And I challenge you to go back and listen and have faith. I mean, exercise and stretch your faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. So grab hold, lay hold of the kingdom of heaven. You know, it says, the word says, the kingdom of heaven will suffer violence, and the violence shall what? Take it by force. You got to grab hold of it and don't let go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, William. That's a great prayer, man. I was feeling that all the way. And, you know, I'm like, that's going to touch somebody right then and there. And at this time, I'm getting showed there's an ear that needs to be opened. There's an ear
yes.
infection in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That is healed. There's
Hallelujah right
I think
now.
There's a right arm that needs to be fixed. I don't know whether it's a muscular problem or a bone problem. I
yeah.
think it's just a muscular problem. And it's healed now in Jesus' name. I'm seeing
Hallelujah.
There's a lower leg that needs to be healed in Jesus' name. He's
yes.
working on that. No, Holy Spirit, repair all of that now. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know whether somebody's got some migraines going on. I'm sure that.
Yeah, I
saw
migraines and fibromyalgia,
yeah.
there's body pain. Somebody's got suffering with body pain. That's a demonic spirit. I command that to loose you in the name of Jesus. Leave and never return. Oh, there it goes in
Amen.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm seeing eyes. Somebody has their eyes
yeah.
closed. I don't know whether their eyes closed to God, their eyes closed to something, or it might be something going on in their family that their eyes is closed and they can't see what
yeah.
type of things is going on to them. I command them eyes to be open. I command
yes.
the Lord Jesus to reveal the truth, open their eyes wide open where they see everything,
That's right.
and they can take care of that situation. And I
Thank
command
you, Jesus.
God's presence over that situation now in Jesus'
yes.
holy name.
There's a woman that's in a bad marriage right now. And, Father, I just speak over that marriage right now in Jesus' name. I pray peace and healing over that marriage in Jesus' name. I pray restoration and forgiveness would come between the both of them. Listen, sister, forgiveness is not so much for them as it is for you, because when you have bitterness and resentment and hatred towards someone, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You're the only one that's suffering. It's like letting them live rent-free in your head, and you're the only one paying the price. You got to let it go. You got to forgive them. You know, sometimes, you know, you got to remember your husband is sanctified because of you. That's what the Word of God says. And if he's willing to put up with you and you're willing to put up with him, you know, God is going to cleanse him and purify him. And, you know, his time will come. You know, who knows? He might just be saved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Our time ran out, brother. I'll say all is well, and God has completed all these healings. And
yes.
Just come to the healing, go to the Healing Life page and just, you know, send us a verse or, you know, just ask, you know, tell us that, you know, God has really touched you, because I always like to hear testimonies.
Yes.
It's at, on Facebook. It's called The Healing Light Show. And just leave your testimony on there and how you enjoy the show. And, by the way, I was going to tell everybody Art Thomas is coming to Maiden, North Carolina. I think this is May. But anyway, he's coming the 16th and the 17th. And he's going to be here, and the Friday night program is going to start from 7 until 9 p.m., and that Saturday morning we're going to start at 9, and we're going to end around 3:30, because we're going to be taking people to the streets and showing the power of God on the streets, let everybody see what's going on in Jesus' name. And it's going to be amazing. There's no charge. Just show up and have willing ears to listen and have willing hands to lay hands on people. That's the only thing you need. So just come up to that event, that workshop, and you'll be blessed. Even if you're sick, show up, you'll get healed. And that's just how God works. But
amen.
I want to say thank you again to William, and we'll have you on again, man.
Amen. Amen. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. Bless you, my brother.
Yeah, you have a great day, and I'll see. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're not having Thursday shows anymore because my lawn care service has kicked up and it's hard for me to keep up with everything. But we are going to have Saturday shows, so stay tuned, and I'll post on Facebook and let you know about the Saturday shows. I'm going to try to get a guest, or I might have some guests to come and teach. And you're going to be really impressed with how God is going to touch you, how you're going to get healed. So just have your ears open for Saturday mornings. God bless you all.
Hallelujah.
And I'll see you Saturday morning.
Found, and like the rain, I have been carried here to where the river flows.